seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm Patrick Bet-David, and today we're going to talk about deadly sins, but I'm not giving you a biblical speech like a preacher. I'm talking about the seven deadly sins in business that entrepreneurs do that completely end up costing them their business. What if I were to tell you the greatest business owner today, entrepreneur today, isn't Elon Musk? What if I told you the greatest basketball player of all time is not Michael Jordan? Or the greatest musician isn't Michael Jackson, or any of this stuff. What if I told you that? What would you say to it? You say, Pat, you're out of your mind. Elon Musk is killing everybody right now. You know, Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. Michael Jackson was a pop star. No. They became who they became because somebody else who would have been 10 times bigger than them fell for one of the deadly sins, and that's why you and I don't know about them. Okay, I work with a lot of people when I first got involved in business, and I thought they were going to kill me, but they fell for one of these seven that I'm going to talk to you about here today. So let me get right into the first one of the seven deadly sins. By the way, before I get into it, if you haven't yet subscribed to this channel, click on the button here to subscribe. And if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments about what I talk about today, comment on the bottom as well. Let's get into the first one. Number one deadly sin. Either being too cheap or being too You splurge way too much. When you're too cheap, you don't get the best talent. If you're too cheap, you don't get the best technology. If you're too cheap, you're not gonna scale. If you're too cheap, you're not gonna put money in marketing. If you splurge too much, then you don't have money. If you splurge too much on things that don't have returns, you're not gonna have something to scale your business. So somebody may say, how do you know the difference between being too cheap and splurging too much? So first of all, I take whatever dollar amount that I have. You could say, I only have 10 grand, great. I only have 100 grand, 200 grand, $1 million, whatever the amount of money that you have, okay? Every time I would spend $1,000 when I only had $100,000 in the account, in our business account, you know what I would tell myself in my mind? Listen, I would say, I can only do this 100 more times. Why? Because there's only $100,000 in $100,000. So I better make sure I don't do this 100 more times or else I'm going out of money. I'm losing all the money that I have. But I would sit there. And if I'm about to spend $6,000 here, $8,000 here, $3,000 here, $800 here, $19,000 here, I would say, how much is this $19 going to make me or save me or prevent me from being sued? This $19 is going to make you $83,000. I'm in. This $7,000 is going to prevent you from being sued by this guy or getting this complaint. So you need this, not necessarily to make money, to prevent you from going out of business. So I need this. I made my decisions that way. So make sure you're not being cheap in areas that can make you a lot of money and keep you in business, and make sure you don't splurge on things that have no return on investments. Pay attention to that. Number two is letting the wrong people in, getting in bed with the wrong people. What am I talking about with this? So when I got involved and I first started a business, one of the first things I experienced is everybody who became a consultant wanted to sell me stuff because I didn't know what I was doing and I was a new CEO, 30-year-old, you know, Middle Eastern, no four-year degree, no business degree. I don't have an MBA. I don't have anything. I've only read books. And I met with a lot of sharks. And when you meet with a lot of sharks, one of two things happens. Remember, when a man with money meets a man with experience, the man with the experience leaves with the money. The man with the money leaves with the experience. So you could think about what that really means. So I met with a lot of experienced people. I met with this one guy, was in my second or third year in business. And I go and we have a meeting in Beverly Hills, Hilton, I think it was. This is a man that's worth, at that time, I want to say 50 million bucks. Extremely good at what he does, absolute shark. Looked like a shark, spoke like a shark, had a laugh like a shark. A guy you want on your team, but you may have to spend a lot of money for it because he knows what he's doing. We're in there and we're negotiating, and he wanted to buy what I was doing, the business, 50%. He says, give me 50%. I'm going to help you get to this point, and we'll get you $2 million off the table to you, so you're going to be free, and then we can go out there and do the business. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I need this $2 million at that time to grow the business. I desperately need this $2 million. But at that price tag, I don't know about that. Did I trust that person to come in that they were going to do the best thing for the business? Because his philosophy and mine were complete opposites. I was able to walk away and say no, even though I wanted that $2 million in the account. I walked away and said no. Eventually, obviously, it made me 50x on that dollar. But the point is that that time I had to make that decision. Why? Because it goes back to this. Letting the wrong people, and sometimes you bring the wrong partner, a wrong employee, a wrong sales executive, wrong president, wrong business partner, wrong a lot of that stuff. You have to be a little bit careful on who you're bringing in. The more you get to know them and asking questions, it'll give you more opportunity to not make one of the bigger sins that ends up ruining your business. Because one of the worst things you can have is a bad partner that you don't want to be in business with, that you have to face every day, and you have to call them every day to come to work because they don't want to come to work, and you lose motivation to come to work because you own 50% of it. You can't afford to buy them out. It gets pretty ugly. So do that part right as well. Number three, the king mentality. This is a deadly sin. Where you come in and it's me. I'm the king. I'm the King Kong. You better or else type of deal. I run the show, et cetera, et cetera. That's all good and dandy, but what kings attract is not other kings. Kings typically only attract people who like to work for kings. I like attracting kings. I like it to be about anybody else that I'm doing business with. And by the way, there used to be a time I even had this mistake 10 years ago, 9 years ago. I had to adapt to it because I understand it didn't give any returns. All of a sudden, the most incredibly talented, smart, intelligent, 10 times more smarter than me, 10 times bigger market than me, started showing up because it was no longer about me. Why was it not about me? Because you can only build a business to such size if it's only about you. I've seen this so many times in business. Why has this guy been the same size for 13 years? Because it's only about him, and he doesn't want to get out of his own way. And if he doesn't get out of his own way, he'll be the king, but he's not going to build some kinks in his business. And in business, it's all about being a kingmaker. Number four, not adapting. Why not adapting? Listen. Everything changes. The only thing that's permanent in business is change. Let me say it again. The only thing that's permanent in business is change. Change is guaranteed to come. Guaranteed. Change is going to happen. Change in the marketplace, change in products, change in technology, change in marketing approach, change in the way people think, change in a new, you know, demographic or people. You're dealing with boomers, then you got Gen X's, then millennials, then Gen Y's, then founders, and all this. You have to learn how they communicate. There's so much change that's going on. But if you stick to, this is how I do everything, when it comes down to the market changing quickly and you can't adapt, you get killed by somebody newer that comes. It happens every single time if you're not willing to adapt. Number five, I think I'm on number five, yes. Compare and envy. So let me tell you about compare and envy. Compare and envy, I had a conversation with someone. I was in Palm Springs once. And when I was in Palm Springs, I got a call from somebody. And they were furious because another person was making more money than them, and not a little bit more, a lot more money than them. And they said, I said, why are you so upset? And I kept asking, why? Finally, boom. I'm sick and tired of this other person making more money than me. And I said, can I ask you why you're comparing yourself to that person? I said, can you stop for a second? Said, yes. I said, what do you want in life? What will make you happy? Delete everybody in the world and you tell me what you want in life. And this person said, I wouldn't mind making $150,000 a year. I said, okay. So solve for X. X is what? $150,000 a year income. Yes, I would love to make I said, tell me what you would do with that $150,000. I would have a nice $3,000 mortgage payment, living in a place I want to live. I know the community. Great. My kids would go to this private school. Cool. What do you want to drive? I'm driving this. How much you want to save? I'm going to save $2,000 a month. I said, you cool with that? I'm going to do one vacation per year. And I'm very happy, Pat. I said, then why do you keep comparing yourself to this other entrepreneur? That entrepreneur doesn't want to make $150,000 a year. That entrepreneur wants to make $5 million a year. It's none of your business what that entrepreneur wants to do. The more you're comparing yourself, the more you start envying this person, the more you resent them. You don't even want to be around this person. Sometimes when people resent you, it has nothing to do with you. They're just sitting there saying, this guy's life is expanding, he's getting so much bigger, and I hate him for it. Why? Forget about the resentment and the envy because you keep comparing yourself. You don't want to work that hard. You don't want to wake up early in the morning and read the paper or read the market and study the trends and see what's going on. You don't want to read a book a week or any of that stuff. You don't want to work 100 hours or 80 hours a week. You don't want to do all that. Then don't be upset. Play your game. Or if you do want to compete with that person, raise up to their standards. But if you try to compare yourself to somebody that's putting up more effort, who is outworking, out improving, outlasting you, out strategizing you, you can't compete with this person. You're not in this person's league. Compete with the people that are in YMC or maybe a level above you. But if you constantly compare yourself to this person, you will be very unhappy. Very, very unhappy. Again, any thoughts, questions, comments, comment on the bottom. And if you haven't subscribed, click on the subscribe button if you haven't subbed to this channel yet. Point number six, bad personal habits. It'll kill you. Oh my gosh, it'll kill you. Bad personal habits. This is coming from a guy that's had some bad personal habits. So don't take this as me. I'm speaking to you like a father figure, and I'm judging you like you go to one of these churches and the pastor speaks from the pulpit and says, why can't we be more perfect? I'm not talking to you from that standpoint. I've done it all. I've done a lot of stupid things. If I were to open up my closet right now, I would need a closet with one of these 50,000 square foot homes where you open up the closet, you can walk for, you know, 20 seconds and you still don't get to the end. I have a big closet with a lot of skeletons in it. Having said that, let me tell you this. I learned quickly. And when I fell hard, I hated it. It sucked, it was embarrassing, I was alone, I couldn't stand it. And every single time I had a hard fall, it was because of my bad personal habits. By the way, we don't like others to know about our personal habits, that's totally fine. Everyone's got their own vice and things that they're dealing with. For some, it's a different game. For some, it may be alcohol, it may be cocaine, ecstasy, drug, oxytocin, you know, Xanax, it may be pot, it may be, maybe prostitution, gambling, pornography. I don't know what it is, but maybe a lot of, by the way, for some people, it's simply sleeping in because you're too lazy. It's watching TV shows early in the morning, getting to the office late because you call yourself an entrepreneur so you can come in because you work for yourself. Nobody tells you what to do. But I can tell you one thing. One of those personal habits is the reason why you haven't blown up in business. And by the way, for some of you guys that are doing okay right now, but you're not exponentially growing, one of those personal habits could kill you in business. I've seen it so many times, especially when you think you're untouchable, that's when those personal habits can really get you. So don't think you are this immortal person that nobody can touch you. Anytime, boom, like this, the best of them can get caught just because of a bad personal habit. And last but not least, it's cheating, breaking the laws. I mean, Uber gets caught taking, 10 pages of whatever Google was working on, driverless vehicles that are going to go there, and they got caught and it was embarrassing. The board said, what is going on? All the C-type employees quit on Uber. Apparently, Google ends up suing Uber and saying you have one or two choices. I don't know the exact number. I think it was either give us $500 million or sign this contract that you will never make a driverless vehicle. They said, oh, can't do that. $500 million. The board is like, are you out of your mind? It's just breaking the laws is never a good idea. Rules, yes, at times. Laws, I don't know about that. It just sets back too much. And the next time somebody wants to do business with you, they're going to think about that. It's not worth it. Believe me. As great of a high you may get because you could dominate and crush somebody else, that level of the game, it may not be the best thing to do. Recruiting on all those things, possibly, but not to the point where you're going out there and trying to hack into somebody's system. You can't do that. You're going straight to prison if you do that, or you're losing a lot of money because you're getting a massive lawsuit. And that's just one of the stories I'm telling you. There's a lot of them out there. And look at this. The guy creates a product that I use every day, every time I'm on the road. I love the product. I don't want Uber to go out of business. I love Uber. I'm a supporter of Uber. I make sure Uber drivers do their part. I want that service to be around. So that mistake, I'm upset about that mistake because I am Uber. I'm a product of Uber. And it happens to the best of us sometimes, but it's not worth it. It's too big of a setback for any business. So again, these are the seven deadly sins. There are probably some other ones we can add to the list, but these are some of the main ones that I've seen cost people a lot of money. And again, here's what I want you to do. Listen to me very closely. I want you to take these seven on a sheet of paper and ask yourself, which of them is the one that could cost you and your business everything? Make a note of it, make your adjustments, go back to your game, stay focused, and build it big. Thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.